Hi, good evening. This is Janet Robert coming to you from AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. For those of you who weren't here last week, I'm sorry to announce that Mike McEntee is not going to be with us at this time every evening. Mike has been a fabulous talk show host, and we're going to miss him greatly. I remember when I first recruited him to be on our station, but he found a much better paying job. So he's out of here, and our best wishes to Mike McEntee at his new job. I'm sure we'll be hearing him back from time to time. I hope we will. This is Janet Robert. Let me introduce myself again. I'm the original founder of AM 950. Chad Larson is our fabulous new owner now. A little more about you may not know. I'm a lawyer. I used to practice law. I'm not doing that right now since I started the radio station. Used to serve on a city council in Oak Park Heights. And I'm just a general political activist right now. I'm also a brand new grandmother, so that's pretty exciting too. Anyway, I'm delighted to be here today, sitting in for Mike McEntee, and fresh off a tumultuous weekend of politics. What a weekend. I don't know about you guys, but I just have been glued to every form of media we can, following what's been happening. I did have the pleasure of going down to the Democratic Farmer Labor Convention this weekend. My stepson Alex was a delegate, and we got to go dance to the Prince music at the Friday night opening party, which was great fun. And we sat through an amazing convention that shocked a lot of us. So what we're going to talk about today is a little bit about the DFL and Republican conventions. Brett had the pleasure of being at the Republican convention this weekend.
I guess I'd say sort of pleasure. I'm not a Republican myself, but Mike with the uptake always covers both conventions. And just because this year they both fell on the same weekend, he asked me to help out with the Republican convention. So I did that one. And Mike was, of course, down in Rochester at the DFL. But yeah, very interesting convention, to say the least.
Oh, great. And then we're going to talk a little more from Brett about that later. And then, of course, we're going to talk about what's going to happen this summer between now and the primary, and how does the Democratic Farmer Labor Party win this fall? I like to say Democratic Farmer Labor because someone once told me it was the Democratic Feminist Liberal Party. And I thought, well, we need to get back to our roots, remember who we are. Anyway, of course, you all heard we got the, you know, our great Senator Amy Klobuchar was endorsed. And she's running against Senator Neuberger from Becker, Minnesota. And U.S. Senator Tina Flynn Smith was, of course, endorsed, but she will have a primary challenger in Richard Painter. Richard Painter was there. A lot of people had a chance to chat with him. Many people were talking with him. You know, he's running on a strong economic agenda, so it'll be interesting to watch that race. Secretary of State Steve Simon, who's done a fabulous job, was there, of course, and endorsed. And Auditor Julia Blaha, or our new candidate for Auditor Julia Blaha, was endorsed. Of course, one of the first big shockers of the afternoon was when Lori Swanson did not get endorsed on the first ballot. Matt Pelican is now the Democratic Farmer Labor endorsed candidate for Attorney General. It was a bit of a shock to all of us, and I suppose a lot of people were like, what in the world was going on? What happened there? And watching it was really interesting. I, of course, am a huge fan of Lori Swanson. I have always been. I've never seen anybody like do the work she kind of did. But what was going on there was a very strong presence among people who were concerned about guns. I think that played a lot into the convention overall. I'm not so worried about the Democratic Party on guns, but it seems like a lot of people were. So that was playing into it. Matt Pelican came out and said that Lori Swanson wasn't good enough on guns. And so I was a little surprised by that. I remember the case she got involved in when she was saying that people should be allowed to own guns in their home for self-defense. And I agreed with that one. So I don't know why he was opposed to that position she took. I hope everybody who's lived in a dangerous part of a city or in a rural area where meth is out of control and opioids are out of control and people are breaking into homes. If you've ever lived in that situation or lived on a crazy street, I think you'll understand better why this is an important right for us Minnesotans. But anyway, so the other thing, you know, that Lori Swanson had done, which I loved, was that Globe University case she took. She took on 3M. I lived in Stillwater for many years and watched the way 3M had been polluting the waters out there and not taking care of it. I'm glad they finally were forced to step up and clean up the water in Washington County. The Allianz annuity case where millions of millions of exaggeration. Hundreds of Minnesota elderly were charged unreasonable fees for annuities, got into things they did not understand, and she brought that lawsuit, and a lot of senior citizens got their money back, which was great. And, of course, the Trump immigration case. I remember that case well. There were businesses all over the state of Minnesota, big businesses, begging our attorney general to get involved in that case. And when push came to shove and she was ready to be the only other attorney general in the state to file against Trump, none of those big businesses wanted to come up to the table and sign an affidavit. You know why? Well, of course, they didn't want Trump coming after them. But Attorney General Lori Swenson had the courage to get it done, so I was very impressed with that. You know, out in Massachusetts, I have a good friend who works in the Attorney General's office. And when we were talking about, reminiscing about what was going on in our states, he said, oh, my gosh, you got one of the best attorney generals in the U.S. Now, this is the Attorney General's office. Elizabeth Warren, you know, that's their tradition. So she's a highly, highly respected attorney general. So when she didn't get it on the first ballot, kind of threw me for a loop, kind of disappointed me. But we'll see. We'll see how this goes this fall. It could be a completely wide open race now that Lori Swenson has decided not to run. Matt Pelican may be facing quite a few people. I mean, the talk out there is everyone from Keith Ellison to Deb Hillstrom to Ryan Winkler. And the deadline for filing is tomorrow at 5 p.m. So we're all going to stay tuned and see what happens, who's in, who's out. But, of course, the governor's race was the one we were all watching the most. So that was quite an amazing race. And just a couple things about that race, which was sort of interesting. Good friend of mine, Darren Broughton, works for Tunheim Partners. And Tunheim Partners, they're kind of specialists in social media. Right before the convention, he came out with a social media analysis. It was titled, Will Social Passions Match Endorsing Conventions? This came out at Friday at noon, and they had been studying the six gubernatorial candidates ever since March 1, and they had been mentioned over 100,000 times on social media sites like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And it was interesting because the two people who led the mentions the most were Congressman Tim Walz and Tim Pawlenty. However, they measured two other things. They measured intensity or sentiment and passion. Well, Erin Murphy topped it out in sentiment. The sentiment and the passion for her were off the charts, over 80% in both categories. Of course, for Pawlenty, it was super negative, like 30% of passion. No, 10%. 10% passion and negative 45% net sentiment. So he didn't do so well. But Congressman Walz didn't do that well. He had 48% of the total voice out there, but the passion intensity was only 31% and the net sentiment was only 40%. So that was a real interesting analysis because that's kind of what happened. Erin Murphy went in with a pretty well-organized group of people and a lot of sentiment, a lot of passion, and managed to get the job done, managed to get the endorsement. Surprised a lot of people. Most people went in thinking that Congressman Walz was in the lead. Rebecca Otto had a really strong group of people. She had a lot of really strong environmentalists out there. It was pretty impressive. But I think, you know, when you go into a convention, that all of that, the passion, the sentiment, how much people are talking about you, all makes a difference. So you're hoping, of course, that passion and that sentiment, but most of all, what they're saying about you is true. And that's a whole other story. I want to talk about that a little bit later, about some of the things we heard in the governor's debate and some of the things we saw. Congressman Tim Walz started off with a little bit of a problem. And the first problem he started out was he said it out front, I'm not going to buy by the endorsement. You know, to be honest, my first Democratic convention, when I worked the floor, I learned that the basics of an endorsement process are you must agree to abide by the endorsement or don't bother to show up. Because what happened is I was working the floor for an amazingly fabulous candidate, but I kept running up against people saying, you know what, he won't abide by the endorsement. And I was saying to the candidates, people, I was saying, look, you know, he's got to abide. If he just changes his mind, says, I agree to buy, he's going to get this endorsement hands down. But he wouldn't do it. It went to another candidate, and we lost that governor's race that year. It was pretty frustrating. So it's pretty tough. It's pretty tough to go into a convention and say, I'm not going to abide by the endorsement. If I work with candidates, that's the number one rule I say to them. And that was Dayton's decision. You know, Dayton knew, Governor Dayton knew he was not going to abide by the endorsement, that he was going to run in the primary. So he was clear about it. Didn't waste any time, money, energy on the endorsing convention, and just went straight to the primary. So that was a tough beginning for Congressman Tim Walz, not agreeing to abide by the endorsement. But a lot of other issues came up that got in his way that day. So I think one of the other big problems for Tim was, again, that gun caucus. The gun caucus reared its head again in his race. And I understand how strongly people feel about guns, but this is a real issue for the Democratic Party, is how we talk about it. So I think that one of the challenges is, how are we as Democrats going to start talking about guns in a way where we can win these elections, and yet at the same time get done the things we need to get done for the safety of our children? And I think it's really important that we begin to have this discussion in the Democratic Party. So once again, you know, Tim had been endorsed by the NRA, I believe, and in the end, that just didn't work out so well for him. More on this endorsement process coming up next.
Down in my hand, the bus stop to pick up a paper from my old man.
Are you trying to live stream on Facebook, on YouTube? Tired of no one watching your videos? Well, whether you're a beginner or a veteran, you can have better results. Hi, it's Mike McEntee with The Uptake. We're famous for our live streaming of thousands of events that are watched by millions. I want to help you live stream video like a pro for your cause, your group, or your company. I'm teaching a class on June 9th where you'll learn how to use your phone or professional camera to deliver the best live experience for your audience. I'll teach you how to attract an audience and how to keep reaching that audience when you're no longer live. Find out what platform works best for what you're trying to do. Sign up now at theuptake.org/classes. Space is limited. Go to theuptake.org/classes to sign up for this June 9th class. There's a $70 charge, but there's a discount for students and low-income people. That's theuptake.org/classes to learn how to live stream like a pro.
As with their Eat Street sister on Nicollet Avenue, the Bad Waitress at 700 Central and Northeast is committed to working with local purveyors and serving organic food whenever possible. But the Northeast location is a bit more grown up. This finer diner has a full bar serving craft cocktails and a brand new inventive dinner menu, including the chicken and waffle, with roasted half chicken, bourbon pickled jalapeno corn waffle, and a roasted poblano gravy. Check out the Northeast menu at thebadwaitress.com.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Kirk Duckwall and Chad Vandalot with Bricks Real Estate bring you the House Geeks Real Estate Show, Sundays starting at noon here on AM 950. Each week, the House Geeks will discuss the latest in the Twin Cities real estate market, along with bringing you great guests covering everything from plumbing to gardening. You can also check them out online anytime at housegeeks.com. The House Geeks, the smarter way to buy and sell homes.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Janet Robert with AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, and we're talking about the conventions this weekend. The governor's race was quite a shock, but you know, before I move on to that, a little bit more about that Lori Swanson race. I mean, there were a couple critical errors her campaign probably made, I think, one of which was she never addressed the convention. And those of you who have been to the Blue State Ball, I think she's been to 7 out of our 8 Blue State Balls, and she was never quite the dynamic speaker, but when she has been speaking the last few times and she spoke about the work that she has done, even I was just moved. But she didn't address the delegates. She never had a chance to really talk about what she had done, all that she had done for consumers suing drug companies and all that. And so I think that was kind of an error on her part. I still don't understand it. There was some rumor that all of the people that were supposed to go before her talked too long. She ran out of time. But to me, that's no excuse. You need to have everybody timed tightly, and you need to know where you're at. The candidate has to address the convention. Without doing that, it just doesn't work for the convention goers. But getting back to the convention, you know, some of the things about that governor's race, one of the things that kind of frustrates me is, one, I would love to be a delegate. It's so dang hard to be a delegate. And I feel sometimes it's almost impossible to have your voice heard in these endorsement process because you can't be there. Many people, they might have a conflict with the weekend. You have to show up caucus night, Saturday, you have to get elected. And who knows what criteria people are going to use to get you elected. So you sit there and you're excited and you love to hear what's going on and follow it. But sometimes you feel like you really aren't having a say in the matter. And the rumors that run wild are just crazy. I mean, I remember hearing a delegate tell me how someone had told them, well, Tim Walz voted for the Iraq War. I was like, wait, the Iraq War started in 2003. Congressman Walz was not elected till 2007. It's not possible. But that's the kind of crazy stuff you hear. But again, the guns issue came up again. And I think this is kind of a big question for our party. How are we going to address the gun issue? Because from Lake of the Isles to Pelican Rapids, all over the state of Minnesota, we are a gun-owning state. We're a boat-owning state and a gun-owning state. And we have a lot of hunters. It's a strong tradition. Many people use it for self-defense. How are we going to frame the issue so that we can win again? Unless, of course, maybe you all think that we could win just with the metro area. Maybe I'm wrong. We don't need to deal with the gun issue. But I have friends on Lake of the Isles who own guns. They have gun safes. They believe strongly in the right to hunt and have fun. And I won't even name all the people I know here at the radio station who are hunters. Even my dance instructor was a hunter. I don't know. It's funny. It's a funny thing in Minnesota. I never knew about guns until I moved to this state. I'm not a homegrown Minnesotan. But anyway, that issue came up, and aside from the guns, the Iraq War, you know, the race was kind of right there, 50-50. You didn't know which way it was going to go. Rebecca Otto dropped out after about the third ballot, was it? You know, I like Rebecca a lot. I've known Rebecca since the first time she was elected to the state house. It was in my backyard there. I remember her first race. It was a special election, and it was a very fun election. We had lost big time in the general election that fall. The special election came out, and everybody turned out to help her, and she won. It was great, and she went on to be a very good auditor. So, again, I mean, I have a lot of friends in this race. I also highly respect Representative Erin Murphy. I remember when she was House Majority Leader. I remember working in the House leadership, and I know she did great work there, and she had a great message. I love her message on single payer. I love a lot about all of our candidates. I loved Rebecca Otto's environmentalist message. I mean, I saw all my friends, the strong environmentalists out there helping her. I know how hard it was on them when she lost. She would strongly represent a very important part of our future as a state. We've always been a wonderful state for clean water, clean air, safe outdoor recreation. So I know that it's heartbreaking for many people when Rebecca dropped out. But I think that she was still a fine candidate, but Erin Murphy had put more people together. But at that point, when she dropped out, the strategy got interesting. You know, usually you wait to about the fifth ballot before you go for a no endorsement when it looks like people are stuck. But very quickly, Congressman Walz and Rebecca Otto came in arm in arm, and sent out a message to everyone that it's we should have no endorsement. Well, I don't think that set well with people. I think it was a little bit early. I think there was a bit of a backlash against that, and it just quickly turned for Aaron Murphy. Another interesting thing that happened was a lit piece came out, a beautiful lit piece. It was obviously created before the convention by the Murphy campaign, and it was a picture of Aaron and Rebecca side by side and talked about strong progressive women. And everyone looked at it, and there was a little confusion. People were asking, did Rebecca endorse Aaron Murphy? What's their side by side in this picture? But in the end, I think that's why Rebecca Otto and Tim Walz came out arm in arm to kind of show there was no endorsement of Murphy by Otto, and also just go for that no endorsement strategy, which of course backfired, didn't work, and it was over very quickly after that. So the governor's race is now, of course, still a wide open race because, as Congressman Tim Walz said, he wasn't going to abide by the endorsement, so he's still in. And today I was at the press conference to listen to Swanson and Nolan's announcement that they were going to run as a team. So now we have three extremely strong teams running for the governor's race. And it's going to be very interesting to see how that all comes out. So I'd like to know who's going to win in August and how are they going to do it? What's going to be key to winning? You know, I do say I get frustrated at times that I don't have a say in who's going to be our candidate because I'm not going to be at the endorsing convention. So frankly, I don't know how you all feel about it. I personally would like, this is an opportunity for everybody to have a say, and this has happened before. You know, when Representative Margaret Kelleher was endorsed and Dayton went against the primary and the voters chose Governor Dayton. So when it comes time, I'd like to, you know, one of the things I'd like to hear you all talk about, we'll open up the phones a little bit after the bottom of the hour, and I'd like to hear a couple things. One, what do you think is going to make a difference in the candidates winning in August? What do you think is the best way to frame the gun debate moving forward? And, of course, my question there is framed also around the issue of do we need a rural metro strategy? I know that Congressman Walz was looking to do the rural metro strategy. Obviously, he's a rural candidate. He chose Peggy Flanagan because of her metro credentials and her issues and her experience in those. And of course, Aaron Murphy did not. That doesn't appear to be her strategy. It's a metro ticket there. So now Swanson and Nolan have come out, and that's clearly a rural metro strategy. So does that matter? Does that make a difference? We'll see. Again, this is Janet Robert with AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We'll be right back. I can take you home.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine, the perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
A night out with Chelsea Handler, live this Tuesday at the State Theater.
I'm doing a tour where I go around to different places in this country and talk to people who have different opinions than me because I want to learn more, I want to understand better, I want to have nice, healthy conversations with strangers who think differently.
A night of fun and interactive discussion with Chelsea, hosted by TV's Jenna Shortle.
What is the most important issue for all of you in this room? Is it foreign affairs? Is it legal immigration? Is it Dancing with the Stars?
Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster in the box office. Sponsored by Delta and Twin Cities Pride.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's
651-231-6333. What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Did you miss spring cleaning? Then it's time to get your carpet Zero Res cleaned for the summer. There are lots of carpet cleaning options in the Twin Cities, but only Zero Res cleans with patented powered water, so you know you get healthy, clean carpet that's safe for your family. So schedule your carpet cleaning today and get the Zero Res Summer 3-Room Special. And this month you can still get a great deal on your air duct cleaning. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Hey, tune into the Norman Goldman Show, where justice is served live every weekday from 5 to 8 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Today on the show, as we start another crazy week, we're looking at the summit. Will there be a big meeting between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un? Russiagate continues. Join me for 3 live hours of the Norman Goldman Show every weeknight here from 5 to 8 on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for a slight chance for thunderstorms tonight with a low around 60. Tuesday sunny with a high near 81. Wednesday showers and storms with a high near 82. And Thursday sunny with a high around 83. The Seward Co-op Creamery Cafe is the Eat Local Minnesota restaurant of the week. They have a delicious menu that ranges from vegetarian sandwiches to fresh burgers. And whenever possible, they source products that promote sustainable food systems and minimize resource consumption. Details at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Welcome back to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. This is Janet Robert sitting in today at AM 950. For those of you who missed the top of the hour, Mike McEntee has moved on to greener pastures. He found a fabulous job, and we were all very sorry to see him go. So we wish Mike McEntee the best in his new job. Hopefully he'll be back from time to time. He did a great job covering local news and the legislature, and those are big shoes to fill. But the work he did for the uptake and has done for the uptake is a great asset to the state of Minnesota and has been a great asset for AM 950. So good luck, Mike, in your new work. Now, Brett was with the uptake at the Republican convention, so I wanted to chat a little bit with Brett about that. I mean, there is a race here. We're going to get back to the gubernatorial race, but there is a race here on the U.S. Senate with Senator Tina Flynn Smith against Karen Housley from St. Mary's Point. So, Brett, tell us a little bit more about the convention. Did you hear Karen Housley's speech? I didn't get to hear it.
Yeah, so she spoke a couple of times, obviously the first time when she's making her pitch to all the delegates about why she should be the nominee for Senate, and then, of course, she made her victory speech as well. But one of the things that kind of struck me is that she's really trying to perceive herself as being, you know, kind of that hockey mom that gets things done. She was talking about things she got done in the business community, also in the state legislature, and, of course, also bringing up the whole hockey mom angle, being that she's the wife of course, Phil Housley, very famous hockey player, also the Buffalo Sabres coach. So it'll be interesting to see if that kind of carries over. I'm afraid that it might come off as a little too folksy later on in the campaign, maybe, where, you know, almost Sarah Palin-esque, where people might get worn on that. But I think she's got a good strategy so far in terms of trying to shore up support against Tina Smith, who, I don't know, I just get the feeling that she's not necessarily getting her name out there enough in public.
Yeah, so I do remember Karen Housley from when I lived in Stillwater. She was a realtor out there, and she ran against Katie Sieben the first time, Senator KBC Sieben, and lost. But redistricting was was helpful to her, and she did win back in 2012 and again in 16. So Karen Housley has made a name for herself. But I'll tell you, even though I the minute I mentioned to some Democrats who didn't know who Karen Housley was, I said, well, her husband's Phil Housley. Well, that was it. They were like, oh, yeah, yeah, great hockey player, you know. So that's, I think, a very wise of her to play up the hockey mom thing, because I think that is something that appeals to people. Don't you think, Brett?
I think it does appeal to people, because especially people who aren't necessarily into politics, because, as you know, much as you and I, or probably a lot of the listeners here at the station, pay attention to politics, most of the people that vote don't follow it every day. So if they hear someone where, oh, hey, I'm the wife of a famous hockey player, that can really appeal to them, I think. So,
oh, my gosh, you remind me of a story when Jesse Ventura was running for governor. So he decided to throw an event. He was running first, you know, not for governor. He was just running for the city council out there. And he held an event. The people were lined up around the block to meet Jesse Ventura. I mean, it was quite an event. And people came home from that and said, he's going to win. He's going to win the election, hands down. And that celebrity status works for some people. You know, it would work for him, and it'll probably help Karen Housley a bit. But her messaging isn't bad either. She's good looking. I don't know. Someone said she can't debate. I don't know about that. There was no debate, I imagine. So
I would say, yeah, her public speaking came off as a little raw, where it still kind of needs some work on the delivery. But I think you're right that she's a very formidable candidate. I think the DFL would be in real trouble if it was not a very friendly year from them, because I think that'll certainly help. That, of course, there's a lot of anti-Trumpism out there that will probably help Tina Smith. But any other year, I think she would be a real, real big threat.
So I think that our listeners and Democrats need to really pay attention to this race. I think you made an interesting point that we haven't heard a lot from Senator Smith yet. We haven't heard a lot about what her message is, what's her theme. Not much going on, and this is not going to be a cakewalk.
And I hope we do, because I heard her speak at the convention, and I thought she gave a really good speech. I hope we can hear from her more, because I really like the message she brings out. I just haven't heard from her enough. I just don't think in the media. Really.
Yeah. So getting back to the governor's race, you heard Jeff Johnson speak, and how was that up there?
Yeah, Jeff Johnson, what really surprised me, I knew he was going to come in with a very anti-Pawlenty message, simply because he's obviously going to be running against him in the primary. I just was really surprised by the degree at how anti-Pawlenty he and really all of the delegates were there at the GOP convention, because when I was talking to some of the other politicals out there, they were saying the Pawlenty folks were going to be trying to get people to vote for no endorsement. And on that first ballot, no endorsement only got, I think, 7%. So I think there's a very heavy anti-Tim Pawlenty sentiment out there within the GOP, at least with some of the insiders in there. And Jeff Johnson was really trying to capitalize on that. That's what I think his main message was. Kind of a secondary message as well was that he was really trying to portray himself as being someone who can win in the Metro, since I think the GOP, to some degree, kind of recognizes that they can win in outstate Minnesota, but they do have some trouble in the Metro area. Mm-hmm. Some of the candidates out there recognize that. Some of them didn't. Actually, I'd say the majority didn't. But Jeff Johnson, I think, was smartly trying to portray himself as a guy that can win, you know, in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area.
Yeah, well, so the other thing, though, that Pawlenty, I think, has going for him, besides the cash, besides the name recognition, I do think that his running mate, his decision to select Michelle Fischbach as a running mate, was brilliant. It really was. I think that she has a very strong following. She has the credentials she's built up. She can really bring the rural area in for him and deliver for him. And I'm a little bit worried about him as a candidate. I think we're going to have a serious race here. And I don't think it's just about the money, because I've always said, you know, you can have all the money in the world, but you can still lose if you're not the right candidate. So with Michelle Fischbach as his running mate, I'm a little bit nervous. I'm a little bit nervous about the governor's race, no matter who we have on the ballot. And people have been laughing at me and saying, oh, no, Pawlenty wasn't popular and he left. I just didn't sense that as much as maybe some other people did. So I'm a little bit worried about this race. So going back to who we're going to have this fall, today was the announcement, like I said, by Attorney General Lori Swanson and Congressman Rick Nolan. Again, like all the people in the race, I know the Attorney General and I know Congressman Nolan. He's spoken at the Blue State Ball several times. And has he ever knocked it out of the park? And I have to say, he's a fantastic speaker. And I think some of you might have heard him. I didn't make the Democratic Party dinner, the Humphrey Mondale-Dale dinner recently, but I know people were just raving about his speech there, too. So Lori, the Attorney General, may not be the best speaker in the world, but in her running mate, she's got a very dynamic speaker. And they bring to the table a lot of experience. And so let's talk about the candidates. What do they bring to the table? Right now, cash is a big issue. I don't know how much cash anybody has left on hand. Murphy or Walls, and I'm sure Swanson and Nolan don't have anything yet. So they just got a few weeks to pull that together. And it'll be interesting to see if anybody drops out between now and Tuesday at 5 p.m. because a lot of people could get back in other races. They could step back and say, I'm not going to do this. I can't win. I'm going to keep on the seat I have because a lot of these people are sitting legislators. But I'm not too optimistic about that happening. I think come Tuesday at 5 p.m., we're going to have a three-way Democratic primary here. And so I'm more than happy to take some callers, but some of the questions I have is so we know cash is going to be a matter. And I think what I want to say is we're all kind of activists. And I've always said to people, look, there's a big difference between an activist and a politician. One of the things I see going on among our party is a lot of us are activists, and we are demanding that our candidates sign on the dotted line regarding every issue that we believe in, whether it's single-payer. I call it now Medicare at 55 is the first start, which I really believe we can get done. But Medicare for all is the way I like to talk about it now. I would like to see a lot more regulation of guns personally. I'm probably more liberal than anybody. All I can talk about is getting out of these wars of choice. But, you know, a great politician is actually a representative. And we as activists have to convince the public what is good policy. And when we do that, our representatives will represent our positions. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear that. They think the politicians should be the leaders. And frankly, they aren't. That's not been the history of any great politician. The history of great politicians are that they are in touch with where the public is at, and they're willing then to step forward. But a story I like to tell people, they don't like to hear it, is back in 1996 when Senator Paul Wellstone was up for his first reelection campaign, I was at a fundraiser, and he said, he was being badgered, are you going to vote against DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, which would have banned gay marriage? Paul voted for the Defense of Marriage Act. In 1996, the American public was not persuaded that the GLBT community should be allowed to marry. So he voted for it. Many years later, people won't even believe he did that. But that's the way we are. We did a good job, a lot of leadership among the LGBT community and the way we raised our children to change the public opinion on this. And so we got it done in 2010. I can't remember what year it was anymore. It's been a long time. But anyway, so we got Mary J on the phone. Tough name.
It's actually Joe and Hopkins.
Oh, Joe and Hopkins wants to talk about the gun issue. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, Janet. First, say hi to Alex from Grandma Joe, and we sure miss Wellstone.
Yes.
Also, quickly on the hockey thing, you know, Matt talks about the fact that the children without money can't play sports anymore, and our boys had to give up hockey long ago because we didn't have the funds. Okay, guns. The urban and the rural, what does that have to do with trying to get rid of the automatics and maybe get some kind of legal registration for guns? I grew up hunting. I mean, that was what we did. So I just don't understand why there's a problem with trying to ask to get rid of those terrible automatic guns and those awful bullets that they're using that just shatter people. Mm-hmm. Any answers?
Well, you know, Joe, I think you're right. Hey, it's hi. I will say hi to Alex when I see him again. He had a lot of fun at the convention.
That's great. I was so tickled when I heard he was going.
Yeah.
You told me when we were at high school.
Yeah, he got upgraded delegate status, and he had a blast and made a lot of new friends in our Senate district.
He's darling.
But, you know, I think all of our candidates actually have talked about getting rid of automatics. Like I said at the press conference today, Lori Swanson spoke on the importance of the bill that would be the red flag bill that would take guns away from people who have them. She talked about registration. She talked about automatics. And I think Congressman Nolan also spoke to that, too. I think it's just a question of, you know, one of the problems is sometimes the messaging we give is a little bit confusing to people. So, for example, some people truly believe, when I'm in rural Minnesota talking to people, they truly believe that we as Democrats want to ban all guns. You know, that
I know, isn't that interesting?
But see, the Washington, D.C. banned all guns. The Heller decision was a Supreme Court decision that came down when Washington, D.C. banned all guns, and nobody in D.C. was even allowed to have one in their home. Well, two people who had successfully defended themselves from intruders and attacks using guns took a case to the courts and say, no, we want the right to have a gun in our home. And they won that case. Now, that is the case that Lori Swanson intervened in that Matt Pelican used against her at the convention. That was a good case. You know, I'm telling you, I am out in rural Minnesota a lot. We have an old farm we go to. We have a condo. If you call 911, there's not going to be a cop at your door in 7 minutes, okay?
Right.
Or three. Yeah. At the radio station here, when our alarm goes off, we have four cop cars in our parking lot within minutes. So, you know, it's different in rural Minnesota. Plus, meth and opioid use, especially meth, which is a frightening drug because the way people are, you know, that's rampant out there. And there are gangs out there. You won't even believe this, but this is true. I talk to the people out there. There are gangs out there. There's meth is out of control. And so people are afraid, and they're arming themselves. And they think that we Democrats in the city want to take away everybody's gun.
Yeah. Well, you know, and where we live on the edge of Hopkins, Minnetonka, we're not the least. I don't even lock our doors, to tell you the honest truth. But I still don't understand the need for the automatics and for those terrible bullets. I just can't believe that we can't use common sense and just thoughtfulness in getting rid of those.
Well, you're right. And that is why we have to win the election this fall, because we will get those legislation passed no matter which Democratic candidate we elect. They've said they'll vote for him. But I will tell you. I'll tell you something goofy about, there were two gun laws proposed, and I actually read bills. I'm a lawyer. That's the kind of stuff I do. But I read them, and one of them said, okay, everybody has to have a registered gun, but you can loan a gun to a friend to go hunting for 24 hours. And I about died. I'm like, are you kidding? All these Democrats signed out on this bill. How do you loan a gun to a friend? Was it 24 or 40 hours? For that short period of time. I had a friend who loaned a gun to a friend. They had to get together the day before they left the town. They'd spend a day traveling. They spend 3 days out in the woods. They drive back, and then they return the gun. I mean, it just made us look silly as Democrats to sign on to a bill that had such a short turnaround time. But anyway, we have to be a little bit more careful what we get behind. And now, of course, remember in the mayor's race, they were asking people to sign a pledge that we would, I think it was, take away people's guns. The police officers wouldn't have guns.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the pledges that people were asking people to sign on to. So, the messaging is just terrible.
It's just awful, isn't it? Our son's fiance asked to borrow a gun, and then she shot herself years ago. And, it's been a really tough thing for all of us to handle. She'd been depressed for years and years and years, and just a gorgeous young woman.
Well, but, you're talking, Joe, about the right thing now. We too often are looking at the symptoms. We're not looking at the problem. So let's talk more about that after this next segment. Again, this is Janet Robert with AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, talking about Democrat and Republican conventions.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Burger Mo's gorgeous patio is open for the season. Enjoy nightly happy hours, more than 60 beers on tap, and the weather while you watch your favorite game on the outdoor screen. And don't miss live music Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Offering 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, Burger Mo's also offers delicious appetizers, soups, salads, as well as unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Burger Mo's is located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, president of Minnesota Hospice, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on AM 950 on Saturdays from noon to 1. Our team from Minnesota Hospice will be continuing our series titled Lifting the Veil, Revealing the Spiritual Truths About Dying and Death, where we share insights on the spiritual aspects of this profound experience. Please join us Saturday from noon to 1 for the new Minnesota Hospice show and learn more about us online at minnesotahospice.com.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all-energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
It's a great day for a bike ride. What's that? You can't find your bike? Oh, it has a flat. No problem. Take it to Nokomis Cycle, the hardest working bike shop in town. They're celebrating their 23rd year in business. In that time, they've mastered the art of friendly, dependable service. So keep life and your bike moving with Nokomis Cycle, working harder to make you go faster. Nokomis Cycle at the corner of 46th and Bloomington Avenue South in Minneapolis or at nokomiscycle.com.
Welcome back to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. This is Janet Robert with you today. Well, we've been talking about the conventions. We've been talking about the Democrats, the Republicans, and the big challenges ahead. August 14th is the primary. That's going to be the showdown. It's a short, short time away. And so now it's time for everybody to get energized. I hope we would all start by doing a little bit of research on the candidates and learning more about them and then getting involved, because this really should be, is going to be the most important decision we've made in many, many years. One of my favorite talks at the convention was actually by Senate Minority Leader Tom Bach. And Tom Bach got up with the senators from the state legislature, and he talked about what's going to happen this fall, what we're in for. You know, of course, he's very concerned that Pawlenty will win the state. And so he spoke about how Wisconsin is coming to Minnesota. You know, former Governor Pawlenty has been working for many years for the Financial Services Roundtable. You saw what he tried to do in Minnesota when he was here. He gutted our transportation system. We had no money to repair anything. They kept trying to come up with a cheaper and cheaper solution to repair the 35W bridge. It went down. People died. We lost money for roads and transportation. We got years and years behind in infrastructure. Our schools, he stole money from the schools, the pension funds. Everything was a mess by the time he left office. But, you know, that's kind of a lot of story people don't know. So we're going to have a big battle on our hand, A, to get that story out, and to B, to put up just the right candidate who can beat Governor Pawlenty. But Bach spoke about how Wisconsin is coming. The first thing on the table, the first legislative session, is going to be right to work, turn us into a right to work state, gut our schools. Why not just turn everything into a private school system like in the South? You know, the wealthy have their own private security guards and gated communities. They have their private schools. They have their elite system. Atlantic Monthly had a great story on that this last month. So we have going to have one of the most important elections of our time right now. You know, a lot of people talk about the presidential race. And they talk about Trump and all that. But I'm telling you, it's time we stopped. I want to go back to an old idea. I'm going to steal a Republican idea, and it's states' rights. I want to say, I'm sorry, but we've got to put Minnesota first now. This is the thing that matters is Minnesota, and we've got to do what we can to take our state back from the GOP that's taken it away from us. When I moved here because it was a wonderful state. Transportation, education, nice people, and suddenly things have changed. Slowly, and it's getting worse. So it's time we really got active. So the gubernatorial race, what's it going to take to win? Do we need a rural-urban strategy, and what's that all about? You know, I go out to the metro area, and I talk to people out of the metro area, and they say to me, well, you know, they care so much about the environment in the cities, they're going to put all of us farmers out of business. So we've got to find a balance there. And then they talk about, well, you know, all they care about is regulation, and they're just putting me out of business. Well, I have to admit, I've talked to friends who own nursing homes, I've talked to friends who are child care providers, and they've told me kind of horror stories about regulations, so we've got to get back some balance there, too. But the rural-urban divide is real. It's highly educated people, and many people in the rural area don't have the opportunity because our tuition at the University of Minnesota has gotten so high that people don't even think they can afford to go to school anymore. So we have a lot going on in Minnesota. And we need to find a way to speak. So this is obviously the Swanson strategy in bringing Nolan on as a running mate because we know he's very popular on the range. He won despite Trump's tremendous support up there. Congressman Walz did the same thing. You know, he won the first district despite the popularity of Trump down there too. So both of them are kind of looking at how do we do this, bring the rural and the urban together. You know, the question is Swanson going to be a better candidate representing the metro area, or is Walz's running mate going to be a better candidate? Is Peggy Flanagan going to be a better candidate representing the metro area? Do we go for experience? Is that important? Do we look at their track record of what they've gotten done? Or do we look for something different? Does Murphy's strategy, is that going to work? Is that going to win for us? How do we talk to the people in the urban area, rural areas from our metro-centric point of view? So these are the kind of questions that have me concerned. I know that Tom Bach is very concerned. And tomorrow we're going to talk about the Senate because we may have two important Senate elections this fall that we can take back the Senate. Thanks. This is Janet Roberts speaking to you from AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Thanks for sharing your evening with me.